Working Cows Podcast, Episode 45.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. It's Clay Conry here, just back with another episode. I'm excited about the guest today. Really appreciate all the positive feedback I've been receiving. If you want to head over to facebook.com/workingcows or twitter.com/YPClayConry or workingcows.net/contact and get in touch with us. Really been appreciating all the positive feedback I have been receiving. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Kit Farrow. Kit is the founder of Farrow Cattle Company, and he is here to share with us some exciting news. So, Kit, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here. I appreciate that.
Well, it's good to have you back, and we are looking forward to a conversation about some exciting news from Farrow Cattle Company. There was a recent blog post on the Farrow Cattle Company website entitled Game Changer. Can you talk a little bit about that post?
Yes. To me, this is maybe it's the biggest game changer to come along for a lot of cow-calf producers, for Farrow Cattle Company, and maybe for a lot of end consumers. But the gist of it, and I'll just kind of start from the beginning and tell you the story, we've been producing low-maintenance, grass-based genetics for 30 years now, and that's exactly what we need out on the range to produce the most pounds in profit per acre. And I guess we were a little bit surprised when Cactus Feeders, which is a feedlot, big feedlot in Texas, called us up or contacted me and said Tyson Foods, which is one of the big four packers, was looking for a source for domestic, that means made in the USA, grass-finished beef. And after doing quite a bit of research, Cactus Feeders decided that Farrow Cattle Company had the genetics in large enough numbers to meet the needs of Tyson. So I guess, you know, I was ecstatic whenever I heard that. You know, this is being able to tie in with some big players in this industry. You know, we'll be able to do a lot more than we had ever dreamed possible.
Very good news. So what are the mechanics of this deal? Is it in a pilot phase right now, or how far into the deal are you, and what's going on with Cactus Feeders and their part in it?
We are in a pilot phase. Farrow Cattle Company has an agreement with Cactus Feeders, not with Tyson Foods. Cactus Feeders has their own agreement with Tyson. I think Cactus feeds about 1 million cattle a year. Every one of those critters are killed and processed at Tyson. So they have their own relationship, and I really didn't desire to go beyond a relationship with Cactus Feeders at this point. But we do have, and we decided, you know, the best thing to do probably would be to create a trial run. Let me back up a little bit. When they presented this to me, they were talking about numbers of 10 to 20,000 head per year, and with a possibility of doubling that even. And, you know, I thought, well, that's amazing, but how in the world are we going to meet those needs? You know, producing that many calves is not a problem. Finishing that many calves is going to be a problem. And, you know, we're very concerned about the eating quality that the end consumer has, so we want something that will grade choice and or prime when it's killed, whether it's grass-fed or not. And so I thought, you know, there's just no way we can manage something like this if you let 500 customers finish their own beef. there's not going to be any consistency there. So we were about ready to just walk away from the deal, saying, you know, there's just no way we can manage this and be happy with the end results. And that's when Cactus came back in and says, no, wait a minute. We'd like to partner with Faro Cattle Company in the production of this product. And their thought, and we'd worked it through, but they've got access to hundreds of irrigated circles that we can use to finish cattle on green grass and green forages. And this opened up the door for us and said, okay, now we can, we've got a way to produce with consistent genetics and a consistent way to finish it. You know, there's no reason we can't make this work. So that's when we all got excited. The other exciting part is they were talking about premiums at Tyson's level, because Tyson started this, that could be passed backwards to through Cactus and Faro Cattle Company customers. We're working with a set of premiums right now for our customers that are $15 per hundredweight over their local market or the Oklahoma City market. So if you're in Texas, Oklahoma City is probably your best market. If you're in Nebraska, Valentine or Ogallala, Torrington, those are going to be higher markets, considerably higher. So we're going to, we're able to pay $15 over their market. But before we got into this deal, we thought we better run a trial run. In May, we delivered 120 steers weighing 700 pounds, high percentage Faro Cattle Company genetics. To Texas, we helped Cactus set up a grazing system on a circle that requires daily moves. We're excited, extremely excited about what's going on there. These calves are performing above what we expected. They will be harvested this fall. I guess another thing that excites us is Cactus decided to throw in 20 head of cattle that they consider mainstream cattle. They consider these 20 head to be among the very best that they've ever fed in their feedlot. So they just wanted to see how those would compare with ours. And within 2 weeks, Cactus called us up and says, there's no comparison. The PCC, Faro Cattle Company calves are walking away and are continuing to walk away as far as gain and efficiency. So, that excites us. But anyway, we are in a trial basis. Nothing is going to change too much until those calves are slaughtered. However, we are already putting together another delivery. We've got another 2,000 head of Faro calves ready for fall delivery, banking on the fact that we're going to like what we have right here.
Yeah, that's really exciting news. I'm really happy for you guys and excited to see where this goes. What are some of the requirements as far as genetics? You mentioned high percentage of Faro genetics. What are some of the requirements as far as Faro genetics to participate in a program like this?
At this point, and everybody at Cactus and we agree, we want 75% Faro Cattle Company genetics or better. That means that the calf has to be sired by a Faro bull, and his mother has to be sired by a Faro bull. The only exception to that would be if the other 25% is Brahma or Continental breeding, then we're probably, not that interested. We don't think we can start this project with anything less than 75% PCC genetics, just to make sure that they can grade, they can do what we want them to.
We talked earlier about on the first episode I had you on for episode 25 of the Working Cows podcast, and this is episode 45, so there will be a link in the show notes page to the article that we're discussing, to the blog post that we're discussing on farocattle.com at workingcows.net/45 if you want to check that out. But we talked about basically low-maintenance cattle and how you guys have been selecting over time for cows that can survive without inputs. When you started that project of selecting cows that could survive without inputs, did you imagine that it would go to this place where you are able to finish steers, finish calves on beef for slaughter and those things? Was that in your mind at all?
No. Our original thoughts 30 years ago. You know, we want to bring profit back into this. We want to increase profit per acre and quit thinking in terms of animals performance, but performance per acre. And really, you know, 30 years ago, there was very little thought or discussion about grass-fed or grass-finished beef. So no, that was not our intention. And it's still not our intention. You know, 95% of the calves sired by our bulls are still going through the feedlot and doing very well. However, you know, the cattle that perform the best in our program, the low maintenance, you know, they meet their maintenance requirements and then they can start growing and laying on fat. That's exactly what the grass-fed beef industry needs. And, just kind of dovetailed together in a miraculous sort of way.
Very cool. What are some of the mechanics of how this grass-fed or grass-finished operation works? I mean, how long are they on grass after they arrive there at 700 pounds? How long does it take to get them to finishing weight? And what are some of the qualities of the meat at finishing? Have you had any feedback on that?
No, we've not been in this long enough. We do have, probably maybe 80 of our customers are grass finishing and direct marketing their own beef. So we know that our genetics work. You know, we probably provide most of the genetics for most of the grass finishers in this country. And when I talk about grass finishing, you know, maybe I need to stop a little bit and dwell on that. But we're talking about animals on grass that can grade choice or better. The grass-fed beef industry has got kind of a black eye because too much of the beef that's out there that's grass-fed has no finish to it. I mean, it's very lean. It doesn't provide a great eating experience unless you train yourself to like lean meat. So, you know, what we're hoping to do and are doing, you know, we want animals that can grade choice coming off of grass. You know, cooking it, eating it, it ought to all be the same. These calves went in at 700 pounds. They should be slaughtered in early November. You know, basically, there may be some weather variations, but, you know, we need to get these cattle up to 1,250-pound weights. They need to be finished. And, you know, there's no recipe that says this is what you do and how you do it. It's still a little bit not as convenient as a feedlot where you have more control, but the forages that this first group is consuming, these are planted forages, and, you know, we're basically going to bring fertility, organic matter, soil back to these circles that have been used for cotton and corn for years. TDN value of the feed these calves are eating right now runs between 68 and 72%. And that's not much less than a hot feedlot ration. So we're convinced that properly done, moving the cattle daily, they're going in on feeds that are 18 inches high. When they walk out of that paddock to the next one, the feeds are 12 inches high. So they're eating the top one-third of the plant. That's where all the energy is. We're probably still going to learn a lot of things, but it's pretty amazing to see what's going on right now.
So do you have any anticipation about rate of gain and how long it'll take to get to finish on these irrigated circles, or are you not that far into the project yet?
We do, and like I said, I do not have the calculations in front of me. You know, if they went in the 25th of May, they'll be harvested early November probably, or the middle of November. You know, I don't know exactly what that is, but, we're gaining over 2 pounds a day, I don't think these calves have been weighed. They probably will be weighed here shortly just to see where we are. But, a lot of that, Tim Goodnight, who is heading up this program for Pharaoh Cattle Company, has a lot better answers than I do in those areas, and might create another podcast if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'd definitely be open to that. But that's really interesting to me because some of the grass finishers I've talked to in the past, it seems like it's a 28 to 32 month age before those animals are slaughtered, if I'm remembering correctly. Does that sound right to you?
I would say that's probably right. And most animals, you know, are we don't have control of the weather. In this case, we have some control of the weather because of the irrigated circles and the forages that we are putting in there. You know, if you just run them out in your back pasture, you know, you're not going to be done in a short period of time. But we have more control here. We're going to learn as we go. I know there are some in the business, grass finishing business now, that are doing it in 18 to 24 months, but there's a lot of a heavy amount of supplements being involved there, which kind of says, you know, is that really grass finishing or not? You know, we're not providing anything except the green forages that these calves are eating, and we hope to continue to do that. However, there may be times of the year we may need to provide some non-starch supplements.
Sure. You know, and honestly, that was a Canadian grass finisher that I was talking to, and so they're dealing with a lot shorter growing season, especially than Texas under irrigation. So it's a quite a bit different operation. And in any case, one of the things that I really wanted to make sure that we covered today was what role did Faro Cattle Company genetics play in even making this an option? I mean, there's something about your cows or your cattle that says that they can put on fat without a lot of inputs. And what role do you think they played?
Well, I think it's huge. You know, we talk about profitable ranching as we did in the original podcast. You know, it's the same type of cattle. You know, fat is the last thing to go on. I mean, it's not hard to grow muscle and skeleton, and that has to be done before we can start putting on fat. It takes 2.5 times more energy to produce a pound of fat than it does a pound of muscle. So, you know, I think low-maintenance genetics are crucial here. Mainstream genetics, why they get so big in the feedlot. I mean, they can't fatten in a feedlot either. They just got to reach a certain huge size before they start laying on fat.
Any other thoughts on this grass finishing and the relationship and where you see it go? Is there more involved beyond Tyson? Is there someone involved that's going to be taking care of putting it out on shelves and those things? Or
obviously there has to be, and at this point I'm not obligated or I'm not allowed to talk much about it. I have mentioned it in the past, and I'm not going to in the future. But, you know, Tyson has got retailers lined up to retail this. And, again, you know, there's going to be a profit. It wouldn't work with this much premium for the cow-calf producer unless everybody else is making profit here. But at this point, I can't tell you who or what is doing, you know, going to do the retailing. I do know that there are three major retailers very interested in this product. The one thing we see now is most of the grass-finished beef being sold in the U.S. is not grown in the U.S. I mean, it's coming from Australia, Brazil, and other countries. And I think this is something that Tyson wanted to get a handle on and say, okay, we want a domestic product. The other thing it's going to be is all natural. That means there's no hormones, no antibiotics, no ionophores. We're probably going to be certified through the AGA, American Grass Fed Association. I mean, that's our hope. We want to have a product that nobody outside the U.S. can compete with.
Very exciting stuff. You've got some bull sales coming up here not too far in the future. Tell me about that.
We've got around 140 or 50 bulls in Nebraska being developed 100% on grass. Our Nebraska bull sale will be Saturday, October 27th. We'll be selling around 140 grass-developed, coming two-year-old bulls there. We've got about 350 bulls down here in Colorado that we're developing on grass, and that sale will be on November 5th. All of these bulls are grass-developed and coming two-year-olds.
What advantage does a grass-developed bull have over, you know, a traditionally developed bull in your mind?
Several. You know, they've never been pushed. They've never been fed grain. They've never been overfed. You know, what we're doing, it's taking longer to get them this way. but it's a natural way. We're not harming the feet. We're not harming the reproductive system. We're not harming the liver. We're providing an animal that is capable of breeding maybe twice as many animals as the typical yearling coming out of a feedlot.
So there's something to be said for stamina through the season and then ability to maintain condition through the end of the season. Is that what you guys are saying?
All the condition was put on naturally and slowly. It's not going to fall off, whereas, you know, a feedlot developed bull, you know, they have really no way to go except to lose weight before they start putting it back on again. And those kind of animals are struggling to be reproductively efficient if they're losing weight. This is, you know, our program is we sell about 800 or 900 bulls a year, and all of these bulls are developed on forage, almost most of them on grass. It's just another part of our program that we think is unique within the industry.
Very cool, very exciting. If people wanted to catch up with your blog or your schedule of upcoming bull sales, where should they go?
FeralCattle.com.
FeralCattle.com. As I said earlier, it will be linked in the show notes page at workingcows.net/45. Kit, I thank you for your time today. Anything else you want to share or any other thoughts or resources you'd like to make people aware of?
No, I just, I guess we and a lot of other people are really excited about this relationship that we have with Cactus and them with Tyson. You know, we're talking about numbers that are going to be unbelievable, going to involve a lot of producers. You know, when we can increase the premium per calf, you know, up to $75 to $120, you know, that's a big deal for a lot of ranchers. I mean, that could be, as we started out, that's a game changer.
Very exciting. So how could somebody get involved if they wanted to, you know, start to, if this relationship grows and is successful and somebody wanted to be in a place where they could be selling their calves to Cactus feeders for this purpose? How would they go about getting involved in something like that?
I guess I would like them to call us and visit with us about the potential. And you know, maybe it'd be better to wait till we harvest this first group, but we're so confident this first group's going to blow Tyson away that they're going to want to ramp up immediately. So, you know, I don't think that's a problem, but we would still like to visit with them before they make any major decisions that affect their program. But basically, you know, they're going to have to invest in the feral bulls, and it won't take very long to be producing 75% feral genetics that will work. And in a couple years, you know, we're probably going to be taking nearly all the calves that qualify. So it's not a matter of you get in and you may not participate. You know, I think everybody that's in is going to participate.
Yeah, and we're probably a couple of generations for a producer who's not in with feral cattle's genetics. We're a couple generations out from them being able to participate with that 75% benchmark, correct?
We are. I mean, we want 75%. I don't think we're ever going to back it up to 50% unless we really trust and feel confident in the other 50%. But the only way to get started in anything is to get started. You know, to sit back and say, well, it's going to take me 3 or 4 years to get there. Well, 3 or 4 years will go pretty fast once you get into it.
$15 a hundredweight at this point would be worth it to a lot of people to invest the 3 or 4 years to get there. So
yeah, it'll be the difference between breaking even and making a really good profit.
Absolutely. I was just sitting in a deal last night with a packer from Iowa, a real small packer killing 260 animals a week, and they were talking about the ability to offer a premium based on where the animal was raised, and the fact that if you're not getting a premium, most commodity markets end up just being a break-even deal.
Yeah.
That if you're marketing based on commodity prices, you're going to have good years, you're going to have bad years, and in the end, it's going to be
a break-even deal. I mean, and that if you're in the commodity business and that's all you're getting is commodity prices, it's break-even. You'll make a little extra sometime, but you'll lose it the next time.
If people wanted to get in touch with you and talk about getting started with this, phone number on your website is 800-311-0995, 800-311-0995, and there will be a link to feralcattle.com in the show notes page, as well as the phone number at workingcows.net/45. Kit, thank you so much for your time today. I'm really excited about where this is headed, and I'd like to talk to you more about it in the future, and then maybe also talk to the individual who's kind of heading this project up.
That'd be great. I appreciate it.
Really excited to see where that goes. Really excited to continue a relationship with Faro Cattle Company and to expand that relationship with them in future conversations with the gentleman that he referred to there that's kind of over that special project that they've got going there with cactus feeders. So really exciting just about these developments in the industry. I think a really important thing that we've got to do as beef producers is start to tell the story of the beef that we're producing. And I've got some other exciting conversations, some things that have really been broadening my perspective that I think are going to help in all of us getting together and telling that story more fully and more completely, so that the market that is receiving our beef is not just receiving a cold slab of meat, but they understand how that animal was raised and how it was cared for. And a lot of those things are going to become more and more important with different pressures on the industry. So I look forward to conversations about that in the near future. Waiting to hear back from a couple of guests, so we will see where we go next week for episode 46 of the Working Cows Podcast, but we will see you real soon with another episode of the Working Cows Podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.